Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are so honored and happy that you would take out your time this afternoon to tune in and listen to the program, and shows that you have an interest in God's Word and what His Word says for our lives. And we want to thank you for taking this time out, and also encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. This is a live call in question and answer program where you set the theme and you set the tone of the program by calling in your questions. And we will be happy to just go to book, chapter, and verse in giving you the answers to God's Word and the questions that are on your mind and on your heart. We like to make mention of all of the services that we are offering you in learning more of God's Word. And right now, until the end of the program, you have the call line, which you can call in your questions to the program at 308-WJNI. That's 308-9564. That's the line to call in your questions at the station. If it rings, and if it continues to ring, please just let it ring until we get an answer. We can only talk to one of you at a time, and we know that the second line is ringing, so just give it a time to ring, and we will get your question in the order which we receive the calls. If you don't want to take that chance, and you just want to go ahead and get your questions in, we have the text line. We had to make a minor change last week, but the text line is back up this week, and we will be receiving all of your questions. And that line to text in your questions is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. That is the number to text in your questions, and we will go ahead and answer that as well. So we are delighted to have you here, and we will definitely be enjoying this time where we can go into God's Word for the questions that are on your heart. Those numbers again to reach the station at 308-9564. That's the call line, 308-9564, or the text line, 725-9283, 725-9283.
We are live, and we do want you to know that it is our honor to be able to go into God's Word for the answer to the questions on your heart. So don't miss out on this opportunity. May we also remind you that our website, which is BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com, has a live streaming button to push that you might be able to listen to this program over the Internet. So if you have friends or relatives in other parts of the world, why not get them to tune in via the Internet through the website, BibleAlone.com, and hit the live stream button, and they can join us as well. Now, be sure to let them know that it is area code 843. If they would like to ask the question or if they would like to call in, let them know it is area code 843. So the numbers, again, for the voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or if they would like to text us, it is 725-9283. 725-9283. Last week we had one a text come in that didn't actually make it here to the station, and their question was, are we born sinners? Are we born sinners? And that is a real good question. There's a lot of people that buy in or have been taught a doctrine that originated back with Calvin numbers of years ago. And a lot of churches have adopted such as this in some of their main teachings, that several things attached to that. But there's one passage that would just nullify it altogether, and that's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. The whole chapter is dealing with this, but it makes it very clear who are sinners. And Ezekiel, now I would encourage you to read the whole chapter, but I'll just read verse 20 to answer the question. Again, the question is, are we born sinners? Well, verse 20 says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor shall the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. And so it goes in and elaborates on that a great deal in throughout the chapter. And so the answer to the question is, no, we're not born sinners, but we choose to sin as we go through life. And the soul that sins will die. And so what we need to do is to not sin. What is sin? It is transgression of the law. 1 John chapter 5 brings out. And so we need to make certain that we are not a practicer of sin, because that is one that is a sinner, someone that is practicing sin. The Lord told us that we in Luke 13 and verse 3 that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So we've got to turn away from our sin. But there's more to it than that, to in order to get rid of our sin initially. You see, by our sin, we earned separation from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2 brings this out, that we actually, God must turn away from us when we sin. And so we've got to somehow repair that, to reconnect with God. Well, that would be through Jesus Christ and only through him. And so as we believe in him, John 3:16, as we repent of our sin, Luke 13:3, as we, and that should be sparked from a godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7 and verse 10 says that godly sorrow works repentance, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world worketh death. But there again, even the demons confessed faith in Jesus Christ. So there's more to it than that. And Romans chapter 6, verses 3, 4, and 5, all the way down through verse 7, it brings out that we must die with Christ in baptism. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We've got to die with Christ in baptism, rise to walk in newness of life, and then we are in Christ. We're baptized into Christ Jesus. So if we're not in Christ, we have no blessings. And the only blessings that really are of an eternal nature will be those that are found in Christ. So let us encourage you, if you've only taken a few of those steps or you've never heard of that passage and that teaching, then we would encourage you to call in your question right now about that. We'll go to the scriptures to find the answer as we let the Bible speak. So don't miss out on this opportunity. We want to thank the caller last week for texting in this question. We sure do appreciate that very much. Again, the verse directly answering your question was Ezekiel chapter 18, and in particular verse 20 is what we read. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Now, the number to call in your question with your voice is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or if you have a question you would like to text to us, you can also text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line. Both lines are available right now, so now's your chance to get in your question. If you want to use the voice line, it is open and so ready to receive your question. That is 308-9564.
We want to make mention that last week there may or may not have been a question remaining that we did not get to. If memory serves me correctly, I think it was a question that we didn't get to. If it was a call, please call if you're listening. Go ahead and call that question, and we lost track of that question if there was one. Just wanted to make mention of that. But calling the question here at the station for the program today, 308-9564 is the number for the lines here at the station. Once again, that's 308-9564, and the text line is 725-9283. Once again, that's 725-9283 is a text message line. So we want to look at a passage of scripture today that is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We want to encourage everyone to, if you're following along, if at all possible, if you're not, hopefully if you're driving, don't do this, but if you're not driving, please, we want you to be trying to follow along with us in the scriptures as we give the answers to these questions. Or if you have something to write down the answers or something to record, what is being said or what's going on as far as how we're answering these questions and the scriptures that we are trying to lead you to. We want to make a reference of this verse here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, because we want to make sure that you know who you are hearing. When we're giving you the answers to these questions, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 gives you clear example and a clear answer of what you are really trying, what you should really be seeing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, as not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So it's the word of God that you should be hearing. You should not be hearing Ricky or Nick or Chuck or anyone else that gets on the mic, on the radio, or on television, or whatever it is concerning godly matters. You should not be hearing people. You should not be hearing man. You should be like these Christians here in Thessalonica and be listening to God. These are the words of God. When someone's giving you an answer for godly things, you should be getting an answer of book, chapter, verse. That's really what you should be. That's really what you should be looking for. That's really what you should want to hear. There are a lot who may try to give you false information or lead you to a different direction, into following your heart or your feelings or your experiences or your emotions or just what other people think, and all types of thought processes and theologians. And well, we should really be focusing on, well, what does God's word have to say about this matter? What does God's word tell me about this situation or this question or this thought? And we try to make mention that we want everyone to know who's listening to the program and listens consistently week in and week out, that we do not try to ever get in God's way of what he is trying to tell his people through his word. And we would like to make sure that we are using our platform the right way to glorify God and not dare take any glory from us. With that being said, the number here to call in your questions at the station is 308-9564. Once again, that's 308-9564. That's the number to call in at the station here to get your question answered. Or the text line is 725-9283. 725-9283.
The lines are now available, so don't miss out on your opportunity. Many times the questions do pile up at the end of the broadcast, and so we do not want to miss your question, and so I'm sure you don't want that to happen as well. So go ahead and take advantage of the time right now and call in your question. The number is 308-9564, and you can either go live over the air. The only thing we ask is, if you want to go live on the air, then be ready to turn your radio down and give us your name so we can address you in a courteous manner. And so please, just, you can go live over the air, or it can be written down and brought in to us. The choice is yours. The question, well, that's up to you as well, but the answer will be from God, from his word. We have a texter texting in this question by the last digits of 462. They texted in this question this afternoon. First of all, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in and asking your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. Their question is, are women supposed to wear hats while at church? Well, that's a really good question, and it goes way back for many decades and probably several generations where it has been a tradition for that to occur. Well, let's go to what the Bible says, and regardless of what man has practiced or thought of, the only passage that addresses something like that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it does not ever mention a hat at all. Matter of fact, let's read it, and we'll define some words that will be helpful. In 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 3, it says, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn, But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. Now, some definitions would be in order as we go through. The head here, talking about in verse 3, that the head of man is Christ, the head of Christ is God, and the head of woman is man. So those are the heads that it's referring to. And then it's talking about man without a covering would be proper, and woman with a covering. Now, the key there, the question is about a hat. Well, the word for cover there, covered, is the Greek word kata kalupto, which literally has, it's a compound word, which means a covering, which is hanging down, a veil, a covering up, or to cover wholly. It has the idea of that which would be hanging down over. So it would be more not like a hat or even like a dolly that would sit up on top of the head, but it would something that is literally hanging down. And so that is the word that is under consideration there when it's talking about the artificial covering. Now, it goes on talking about hair is given to her for a covering, but that's an entirely different word. And so it literally has the idea of a veil that is hanging down, covering. So the kata means much, and the kalupto means to hang, to cover. So a much covering is the idea there by that word in the original Greek language. So does that sound like a hat to you? Well, it doesn't sound like a hat to me either. And so this passage would be talking about a artificial covering that was hanging down and covering much of the head. And so that's what it's referring to. So it has nothing to do with a hat at all. It's time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, please know that we can still take your questions, and we are honored to be able to do that. And so you can be the first or the next question as we go to the break from, if you would like. Go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564. That's 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, as the first question was, then you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We do want you to know we are honored to be able to be in your ear, and that you have a heart that is wanting and desiring to hear what God has to say in His Word. And so we're glad that you have tuned in and that you are joining us as we go to the Bible for the answer. So please call in your questions. We have some coming in via text, but we have our voice line that is available as well. And that number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And your question can be written down and brought into us, or you can go live. If you'd like to go live, then be ready to give us your name, and then also be ready to turn your radio down immediately upon us conversing back and forth. That way there will not be a confusing echo. So those are two things we request if you want to go live. Again, that number is 308-9564. And if you'd just rather text us, you can do that as well, which is 725-9283, 725-9283. Chuck, you have a text question here?
We have a question sent in by Deborah. Deborah says, "Hello, please explain fasting for a blessing." Well, Deborah, that's a good question, and I'm sure many probably also have that same question. I want to direct you over to a couple of different places in Matthew. The first one I want to direct you into is Matthew chapter 6, and starting in verse 16, it's talking about, it mentions fasting. It says here, Matthew 6:16, this is Jesus talking, says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Well, there's a couple of things I want to make mention of. Usually what people get from that passage is about what not to do as far as fasting. And that's fine. There are principles and elements that you should pull out of that as far as how not to fast, where he says, don't be like the hypocrites and disfigure your faces just so you can appear to be fasting to men so that you may get praise from men. So that's definitely one lesson to take out of that passage. Another lesson to take is the phrase that Jesus said, when you fast. He said that in verse 16, and he said that in verse 17. He starts off at verse 16, he says, moreover, when you fast. In verse 17, but you, when you fast. So definitely when it comes to our walk with God, fasting is definitely a part of our walk with God. We should include that right with prayer, right with studying his word, right with meeting with the saints and assembling together to worship God and live for God and obey the things that he commanded. Fasting is right in there because Jesus says, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. He says when you fast. And he said it multiple times. So I think definitely when it comes to fasting for a blessing, yes, that should be something where we should take part in. Another example we want to look at is Matthew chapter 4, which is when Jesus was tempted. In Matthew chapter 4, and starting in verse 1, it says, now when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when you think about it with how Jesus makes this claim here, that man can live by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that's spiritual food. Compare that spiritual food versus the physical food. When you think about it, do we eat physical food? How consistently and how often do we eat physical food? Well, you usually eat physical food multiple times a day. So if the physical food, taking part in physical food multiple times a day is good, how much should you partake in spiritual food? Because the physical food provides nourishment for the physical, which is only temporary. While the physical food, that supplies nourishment to the spiritual, to our being, to the purpose of our lives, that is eternal. Our spirits are eternal. So the spiritual food should be having a bigger emphasis on us than the physical food. And that probably is a good lesson that that we can take from out of this passage. And so when it comes to fasting for a blessing, it's definitely something that we should be doing. But fasting, it should be right included, right along with studying God's word and meditating on his word, thinking about it, letting it affect you, applying it to your life, as well as praying and talking to God about those things that we have on our hearts. Great question, Deborah. Hopefully that was helpful to you. The number to reach here at the station is 308-9564. Once again, that is 308-9564. That's the number here to call in your questions at the station. And we also have the text line. Once again, want to make mention of that, 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have Michael calling in this afternoon with a question or follow-up to a question we answered earlier. His question is, explain Psalm 58 and verse 3 and Job 14 verse 1 and 2 in relation to we being born sinners. Michael, thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that. And whenever we say something or do something that it may sound like it's a contradiction to some other verse of Scripture, it is always wise to do that, to check this out and make certain. And so we sure do appreciate that very much. Let's read, first of all, Psalm 58. And verse 3 was the first question. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Well, Michael, that sure does sound like that, doesn't it? Except for one thing, the wickedness here is likened unto speaking lies. And so it shows that it is not just from birth. I don't know many 1 month olds that can speak a lie. And of course, I know that I'm not trying to be absurd there, but we can't make that verse mean that, of course, because there would be a process of speaking or communicating. Now, do children sometimes, as they are young, speak lies and get in trouble? Oh, yes, that would be a natural instinct of people to try and get out of trouble. And they learned that from an early age. That's exactly right. So when is it that we would sin against God? Michael, I like to encourage people to think about it in the form of when do we or when is someone capable of comprehending God? A few weeks ago, we had a young person call in and ask what is the appropriate age for someone to become a Christian. And obviously they were sincere in the way they approached it. And so I just asked them, I said, when did you become a child of Satan? And they responded by saying, well, I'm not a child of Satan. And then I proceeded to ask them, well, you mean to tell me that you have not sinned against God? Well, no. Well, then that means that you're not lost, that you are not in darkness and belong to Satan. And they said, no. And then I pointed out to them, I said, well, in order for someone to be saved, they've got to be lost. In order for them to be found, they have to be lost. And they have to have broken that relationship with God. And that's when we must seek to repair that. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2, it explains that pretty clear, where it says that chapter 59 and verse 1 says, behold, the Lord is not Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So God can save if he wants to, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So God can hear if he wants to. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So when we sin, that's what breaks our relationship with God. The question is, when do we sin against God? Well, it is when we have broken, with a view of what God says, broken his law. So is it wrong to lie if you're 2 years old? Well, yes. But does a 2 year old comprehend that he's lying and violated what God says? And so on. So they have to grow to the point to where that they will comprehend God. So when is that? Well, there is, the Bible does not express an age where that someone can begin to understand breaking their relationship with God. And whatever time that is, for example, just use a 1 year old goes up and kicks their parents in the shin. Have they sinned against their parents? Yes. Well, have they sinned against God? Well, I don't know of anybody would say a one-year-old, because they kicked their parents in the shin, that they've sinned against God. Let's say that they sin, that they kick their teacher in the shin at 6 years old. Does that mean they've sinned against God? Well, they've probably sinned against their parents and they've sinned against the teacher, but they have not sinned against God yet, unless they comprehend God. So when do they comprehend? Well, that's at different times for different people. But when we do, when we sin against God, maybe the same thing. Let's say a 16-year-old kicks their parents in the shin. Have they sinned against God? Well, I would have to say yes, because they are old enough to comprehend God if they are mentally healthy. And so then they must deal with God. Once they know that there's a bigger authority than mom and dad, than police, than government, there is somebody that everybody will answer to, and that is God. Well, and they do something wrong, no matter how insignificant, even telling lies, as we read there in Psalms, then that is when we sin against God. Now, your second verse was Job chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Man is born of woman, and is few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And how true that is. Life is short, and in few days, the few days that our life is expressed there, just like a shadow. James refers to it like a vapor that appears for a little time. It is full of trouble, because we are in these carnal, fleshly containers that will have appetites that will go against what God would have us to do. For example, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. Yeah, see, those things don't come natural. God asks us to do things that are not natural, such as love our enemy. So those are things that we're going to have to grapple with while we live in these containers, these bodies of ours. Michael, I hope that's been helpful to you. They are talking about life in the long run, both of those passages, and thus you can see that we are in jeopardy if we keep up following the desires of our flesh. It's time for us to take another break. The questions are coming in, and we are happy that you are joining us. Please bring in the questions. The lines are available again. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line, 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We're glad that you're joining us today. Please know that we are going to go to the Bible for your questions and find the answer. You might say, why? Why do y'all keep going to the Bible? Well, one day, every single one of us is going to hear a judgment from God himself. So wouldn't you want to know what he thinks about it? Wouldn't you want to know how to get ready for that day? How to prepare for the day when we're going to answer? Well, the only way we can do that is to go to the Bible. And so go ahead and ask your questions. Call them in, 308-9564. We'll go to the Bible, find the answer, and thus that will help us to be prepared for the day when we will meet God face to face. So the lines are available right now, 308-9564. The text line, 725-9283. Chuck, you have a question here?
Yeah, we have a texter whose last three digits are 448, and they sent in a series of questions, actually. And we're going to tackle, I'll tackle a couple, and Ricky will tackle a couple. The question says, pastor said God is not a he, and there were no marriage ceremonies in the Bible. And this pastor supports the president regarding same-sex marriage. What should a Christian do this election? Well, we're gonna start kind of at the back of this person's question, or well, this series of questions, and the last one about what should a Christian do in this election. Well, as far as memory serves, when you look at the scriptures, let's look at a couple examples of how Jesus handled political type questions. The one section here is in Luke chapter 13. Ricky quoted this this section here earlier, but let's look at the reason of why he said what he said. The question, well, they presented chapter 13, verse 1 says, when they were present at that season, some who told him, they told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered them and said, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or the 18 of those in the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think they were worse sinners than other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So Jesus was pushed and almost forced to answer political type questions, what he did was he took those political questions and he turned them into spiritual answers. He mentioned, when they mentioned these things, he looked over kind of their physical nature of those questions, and he taught a spiritual lesson in those questions. The next section we want to look at how Jesus responded to the political type questions was in Matthew chapter 22, where the Pharisees came to him. Matthew chapter 22, and in verse 17 it says, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me your money. And they brought a denarius to him, and they said, whose image and description is this? They said, Caesar. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. So once again, we see that Christ, he took this opportunity for a physical type question where they were trying to get him trapped in politics, and he turned it to a spiritual lesson. So what kind of lesson can we, as Christians, in this day and time where we have elections and we elect politicians? Well, I can't give you a biblical answer what person or you should vote for or what party or whatever, but we should let God be our guide in those things. Whichever politician we feel best is trying to represent godly things, it's probably the one that we should be looking to for political guidance. And that's the way we'll answer that question. Once again, that's Luke 13 and Matthew chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. To join us at the station, number is 308-9564. Once again, that's 308-9564 is the number at the station. And the text line is 725-9283. 725-9283. Once again, we will get back to this text question, this series of questions. We did have multiple questions to get back to, but I believe we have a live caller by the name of Robert.
Yes.
Robert has a question about with birth of Christ. Is that correct, Robert?
Yes, kind of.
Are you there, Robert? One second. We're trying to get you through to us.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Robert, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hold on 1 second. If you are waiting, we're trying to push the right buttons and get you through to us. Robert, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we apologize. For some reason, we cannot hear you if you are there, so we're going to put you back to the telephone operator so that we might be able to get your question. Okay, so let's go on to our next question, our next part of that question, and that is dealing with.
I believe we got Robert back. Robert, can you hear? Can you? Are you there now?
Does he need to hang up first? Okay.
This is Mike.
All right, sorry. We continue to have problems with that, Robert.
We apologize.
Go ahead and write your question down. Maybe we have to get it. We're having a little technical difficulties with getting the questions, and we apologize about that.
All right. Concerning the text question that came in earlier, the first part of it was a woman pastor said. Well, first of all, let's see what God says about a woman pastor, and so that we can know what that situation is from God's vantage point. We can go to Titus chapter 1 or 1 Timothy chapter 3. And one of the characteristics or one of the things, the stipulations that God makes about those that would be over or watch over or overseers or shepherds over a flock, a pastor over a flock, is that they are to be the husband of one wife. They are to be the husband of one wife. And so, therefore, in God's vantage point, that there is no such thing as that. And so, first of all, a woman pastor said, God is not he. Well, when you look, and I think every Bible that I know of, except there was a Reader's Digest Bible that came out a few years ago that tried to make the Bible genderless. And in order to do something like that, they have to go through and remove key words in order for that to occur. Well, there was a story about someone did not like a certain subject in the Bible. For example, I believe the subject was baptism. They did not like the idea that the Bible talks about baptism. And so when they were studying with them, they found out that the Bible said something about baptism, and they ended up tearing that page out of the Bible. Well, the fellow that was studying with them turned the Bible to the next one. Well, they ripped that one out, turned to the next, ripped that one out. And, you know, by that process, as it continued, truly, that person's Bible said nothing about baptism when they got through with that session. Now, my question is, does that erase what the Bible says about baptism? No. Well, just because we might change a word here and there, does that change what God says about God being a he? Not only all the Godhead are referred to as he, but also the angels are referred to as he as well. There's no such thing as female, as the Bible brings out, females as far as angels are deity, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is all referred to in the male gender. So what does that mean, that God is a chauvinist? No, that means gender is not important. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20 6:27-28:29, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. As far as what God views, there is no such thing as gender. And so why would we make a problem about that here and now? That's just, this does not make sense. And so why would they say something like that? Well, they only can go beyond what the Bible says. Now, when we do that, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 gives the warning about that. In verse 8, Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And so, therefore, it is absolutely imperative that we stick with the Bible and nothing but what the Bible says if we're going to be pleasing to him. And so as far as God is doesn't say that God's a he, well, there is a problem, certainly. Then the question goes on to say that God is, the Bible doesn't say that God is a he. There was no marriage ceremony in the Bible. Well, I'll have to agree with you there. There is no contained marriage ceremony where it has to be stipulated this way or that way. But the principles of what God says and that God joins a man and woman together are in the Bible. And notice it was a man and woman that they were intended to be from the beginning in Genesis chapter 2 all the way to Matthew 19. We can see that that is a consistent pattern throughout the Bible. And so you can look in Matthew chapter 19 and verses 3 through 12, and you'll see very clearly what God's intent for marriage to be. Are we going to try with a live caller again? Is this Robert? Okay, Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm. Hello?
And, yeah, he can hear us, but something wrong with our speaker here, I imagine.
I'm sorry to
Now we can hear you. Okay, there you are. Okay.
Okay.
How can we help you, Robert?
All right, real quick. Thank you for letting the Bible speak.
You're welcome, and we're so glad that you have joined us, and we're able to hear you.
Thank you. I kind of wanted to speed up things a little bit, and what I mean by that is we're going into the area of the birth of Jesus Christ. This week, I watched a movie that touched me. I think it was called Nativity. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but anyways, in the movie, it's about the birth of Jesus Christ, and the wise men know he's coming, and they follow this star. And during their journey, they go through these dangerous places, and they are not even touched. I'm wondering if they're protected by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as well as these angels was talking to Joseph, Mary, you know, all this or whatever. And were they there during the actual birth? Did they actually see the birth of Jesus Christ to bring him all this silver and gold? And, you know, I'm just wondering, the movie, what is its contents? Is it accurate as far as time goes?
Well, from what you've described, I don't know what the movie all is about, but several things you have mentioned there, there is nothing in the Bible about. First of all, we have labeled them as wise men. They were actually astrologers or magi, those that studied the stars.
Okay.
And
yeah,
they would not have been there for...
They actually proved themselves in the movie with that.
Well, but then there again, they didn't arrive for maybe up to 2 years later, because as they went to find the Messiah, and they reported unto the Herod, that is what caused Herod to go and have all the kids 2 years of age and under destroyed. And so, no, they wouldn't have been there for the birth and all of all the things that come out of Hollywood. I only know of one movie that I really appreciate about what God says in the Bible, that and the rest of them are just extremely full of fantasy that some man or some group of people have put together.
Well, they did a very good job, and I'm thinking that the time frame had to have been long, but they brought silver and gold.
Well, it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and those were herbs, the last two were. And so, again, It was a gift that they brought, and, of course, that was a normal thing. You know, we do that as well today when we
have. I was going to say, what were the cents for? I mean, what?
Those were valuable. Those were valuable herbs back then.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so, but again, that is what Hollywood came up with, and we're just going to stick with.
You've not seen the movie then.
Well, Robert, we want to make preference of kind of the same passage I started the program with. We just want to kind of reiterate that. We just try to look at, you know, let the Bible speak. Whether we've seen the movie or not, it's kind of irrelevant. But when it comes to godly things and when it comes to talking about birth of Christ, that's definitely a godly thing. Well,
okay.
we try to go strictly by, you know, book, chapter, verse, what God's word says, and the accounts of Jesus' birth that are written in the Bible is all we care to speak on, really.
Okay, well, I just want you to know that I'm not trying to let Robert speak. I'm just trying to see timelines and stuff because...
Well, the best thing to do is to read the Bible. Read those verses in the Bible.
Where in the Bible would all that comprise into this, like...
Well, I don't know where Hollywood got it, but you can get the correct information from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That's the gospel.
Yes, the Gospels, what's commonly called the Gospels. That's right. So I would read the first few chapters. If you want that particular part of his life, read the first 3-4 chapters in each one of those books, and you'll get it.
Okay, well, I've taken up enough time. Maybe
thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to let another caller call.
Okay, we sure do appreciate it, and the calls
thank
are
you.
Coming in. Thank you so much.
And we actually do have another caller, Michael, by the name of Michael. Your question's on salvation. Is that correct? Michael, are you there?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, how can we help you?
As a child, I just...
If you can turn your radio down, there won't be an echo confusing.
I've recently received Christ when I was about 15, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of straight away.
Uh-huh.
And just recently got back into the sense of things.
Uh-huh.
And... just wondering, as I professed Jesus Christ back then, I've done a lot of things I really shouldn't have done.
Yes.
But I just want to know if I lost my salvation or do I have to go through the process again or...
Well, it all depends on how it all occurred in the beginning. Most, unfortunately, most churches today do not teach the complete steps that bring salvation. Many times it is through the process of saying a sinner's prayer. There's no such thing as that in the Bible. There is many times they will say, well, what you have to do is just believe in him with all your heart, and they'll take one verse out of Romans 10, and they'll say that brings salvation, but even the demons believe and tremble, but that doesn't give them salvation. There's more to it than belief, more to it than just repentance with belief, more to it than confession. Even the demons confessed that Jesus to his face, that he was the Messiah, and that did not bring them salvation. It is all of those things, plus dying with Christ in baptism. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Mark 16:16 puts it this way, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. It's like a small a math problem, 1 + 1 = 2. Every single one of us agree with that. But there are people out there that will take Mark 16:16 and just twist it all up, like 1 = 2 plus 1, and just will turn it all around where God never made it complicated. He made it very clear. And so we must believe, we must repent, Luke 13:3, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We must confess that he is the Lord, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And then also where we actually come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ is expressed in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 7. Verse 7 goes on to say, he who has died is freed from sin, that spiritual death with Christ in baptism frees us from sin. So if you haven't done all of those steps, then you've really never begun your relationship with God. Now, I myself had listened to 3 different church doctrines before I finally opened up the Bible to find the truth. And so what we need to do is to listen to not church doctrine, but to what does God say in his word. And once we are in Christ, once we're added to Christ, and that's where it occurs, at that last step, even from the very first day in Acts chapter 2, the Lord adds us to his church. What we have to do at that point when we sin is to repent and pray. Repent and ask for forgiveness of our sins. Does that make sense?
Yes, I've done that. I feel in my heart that I've done that.
Well, then that's what the Lord would have us to do. Let me encourage you to read 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through the end of the chapter there, and you'll see that that's the steps after we're a child of God and that we have our advocate with the Father. Then that is how we are repair our relationship with him once we've fallen back into sin. By the way, if you've never enrolled in the correspondence course, let me encourage you to do that. Call 553-5157 and get that, and you can make certain of your journey in serving the Lord that you're walking with him in the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call. Again, that number for the operator standing by is 553-5157. Thanks for your call today. Again, the lines are now available, 308-9564. We're over time for our next break, so we'll go ahead and take that right now. But while we are at break, please go ahead and continue with your questions coming in. 308-9564 or 725 is the text line, 725-9283. Please know the correspondence course that we offer is free, nothing but free. We are glad to send it to you free. So don't miss out on this. We're glad to send it to you. You will receive a blessing as you listen to what God says in his word. Here are the details on that. If you already received the course, then go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are very glad to be able to send you that correspondence course, and so please take advantage of that if you have not. That is an extensive study of some of the basics of what God says in his word. And so please take advantage of that, and we're more than happy to send that to you free of charge, 553-5157. I think we have a live caller standing by. Is that correct? By the name of?
Brent.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Live caller, are you there?
Go ahead and give us your name.
I'm Brent.
Ben. Okay, say it again.
Ben?
Ben?
Yeah.
Okay, how can we help you, Ben?
I just call. I want to thank you guys for helping me a lot. It's like I received the things that you have said coming straight from the book.
Okay, what's the question, Ben?
Uh-huh.
What?
Repeat the question again. We have a speaker that wasn't working. Go ahead and try it again.
I said, I just call. I want to thank you guys for the answer that I was looking for this morning, coming straight from the Bible.
Oh, well, you're welcome, Ben. We really appreciate that. You're a longtime listener, and we are glad to be able to share with you from God's Word.
And that brother that called, and earlier, Brother Mike,
mm-hmm.
He should read 2 Corinthians 5:17. I heard him say he received God when he was young. If he reads 2 Corinthians 5:17, he will be A-okay. But hello?
That says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I would agree with that, yeah, Ben.
Right. If he read that, he will not feel guilty about all the bad things he has done. If he keep reading that, it will build his inner man up every day.
Right.
God bless you guys.
All right,
okay.
Ben. Well,
thank you, Ben.
We appreciate that. We have another live. You have another live caller again. I believe this is Robert. Is Robert back? You have again?
Yeah, Robert, you're there. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm calling back along those lines of the birth of Jesus Christ again.
Uh-huh.
Talking about these wise men. They traveled in a lot of dangerous places. They, even in the movie, I keep bringing up Hollywood, but in the movie they ate with Herod. I'm just wondering.
There's nothing in the Bible about that.
Okay. Yeah. So were they, well, let me ask you this. Were they protected by the Holy Spirit? And
there's nothing in the Bible about that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so all of that came from some mind in Hollywood. It did not come from the Bible. They traveled from afar. That's all we know.
Astrologers?
They would have been studiers of the stars. That's correct. They were called magi. They studied the stars, movement of the stars.
Okay, I'm sorry to keep.
Well, we have to be careful.
They are protected by the Holy Spirit as following the star for the birth of the Messiah.
There's nothing in the Bible about that. Nothing about them being protected or anointed. And there's not even anything in the Bible that calls them wise men. You know, all of that was formulated by someone writing a song one day based upon the story. And so it's hard to sort out some of these things because we are bombarded with these things by birth, by song, by movies, by stories.
Right.
And
right,
so the only way to sort all this out is for us to read the Bible for ourselves.
Okay, and that's not in the Bible.
As far as them being protected with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing in the Bible about that, no.
Well, that's me asking that question because in the movie, I keep saying that, in the movie they went to a lot of dangerous places and no one would harm them.
Yeah, there's nothing in the Bible about that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Robert. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. We are going to continue our answering questions. Please please know that we are happy to be able to do that. We're going to take our next break in about 5 minutes, and we'll deal with some of these questions that have come in. I think you have one more from our previous text question. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. The other part of the question that we want to answer was regarding this person. This pastor supports the president regarding same-sex marriages. So in terms of that, I personally don't know a whole lot about the current political situation or anything like that. But I have heard the uproar about same-sex marriages. So on that lines of same-sex marriages, I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and starting in verse 9, that says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So as far as supporting same-sex marriages, I really couldn't care less who does support same-sex marriages. I see the God of this universe and creator of this world does not support same-sex marriages. So it's on each individual to make their decision who they're going to agree with. The fact of the matter is God does not support same-sex marriages. God does not support homosexuality whatsoever. And if we choose to do that, we are antichrist or against Christ, against God, because that is not something that of God. And that's basically a straightforward. There's many other verses that talk about homosexuality and God not being pleased with that, as well as verses that talk about marriage between a man and a woman. "For this reason a man shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife." That's mentioned multiple times throughout the scriptures, that a husband and a wife create a marriage, which is a man and a woman. So that would be the question, the answer to that question. Hopefully that was helpful to you, as well as anyone else who may have had that similar question. We want to take our next, go ahead and take our next break. But even while we are break, telling you about the Bible Correspondence Course, please go ahead and keep the questions coming in. I think we're pretty caught up on the questions that were coming in. So go ahead and call in your questions at the station, 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text in your question to the text line, 725-9283, 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live, and once again, we appreciate you taking out your time this beautiful Sunday afternoon and joining us for the answers to your questions from God's Word, trying our best to give you book, chapter, verse on these questions and any questions that pertain to life and godliness, anything that you have about this life or the next life. These questions that we're getting in, we really, really genuinely appreciate them and love the attention and the passion that it takes to go ahead and call in your questions. I know there's probably many of you out there that have questions that as much as we repeat that we want you to go ahead and send your questions in, there's many people that just don't do it. But we do want to take the time out to thank and let you know how much we appreciate those who do take the time to call in and text in your questions, and we appreciate you tuning into the program. To call in your questions, 308-9564 is the number. That's 308-9564, as well as the text line is 725-9283, 725-9283. Ricky, I believe you have a question?
Yes, I just want to say another word or two about the previous caller's concerns about what he has observed on in Hollywood or through movies and such and on TV. It is a great concern to me that to know that there are people out there like me, and that is that would rather get their information via the television, that would rather get their information about religion and what God wants as far as media is concerned, rather than just going to the Word for the Bible for that information. There is such a danger along this line because there are so many things out there that are taught that are absolutely contrary to God's Word. We cannot afford to find the answers according to what God says in His Word, and not listening to man or what man has come up with, because there you name it, and it is taught in the name of religion. We've got to go to the Bible, find the answer for ourselves, and see what God says in His Word. And the more we start listening to Hollywood or even a production that may be in XYZ church, the more danger we are in of accepting something that would be totally contrary to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible and let God speak for Himself. He said that His Word lives and abides forever. We have it. He's preserved it for us. Everybody's got access to it. So why not take advantage of that? Think about all of the centuries that have taken place, and yet we still have the Bible. And so we've got to find the answers if we're going to be pleasing to Him. Well, we have the questions are coming up, so we're going to speed up our questions, our answers, as we try to deal with all these. Jill calls in and asks for a question, asks this question, says, must I stay in an abusive relationship? Must I stay in an abusive relationship? Well, Jill, thank you for your question. And that is something that no doubt probably a lot of people are wondering about. It brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that the believer says to the married in verse 10, I command not I but the Lord, that a wife must not depart from her husband, but if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. A husband is not to divorce his wife. And so it makes it very clear that he would desire for you to stay, but if it's going to cause you bodily harm, cause you a problem, and the unbeliever wishes to depart, you can let them depart. Now, one thing that is not addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is remarriage. So that does not give you freedom to remarry. There's only one reason for that, and that's talked about in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, which is fornication. So from that standpoint, you do not have to become a punching bag in order to stay and stay there and let them beat you to death. But at the same time, if they depart, please note that does not give you freedom to marry again. Okay, we've got a live caller by the name of Michael. Michael, thank you for your call, and we sure do appreciate it very much. And if our speaker is working here, you are on the air. How can we help you?
Come on.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
My question is, when we spoke, you said that about a child being estranged from birth, that they didn't know the knowledge of God, so they wouldn't be held accountable. Okay, I was looking at Leviticus, the 4th chapter, and the 2nd verse was saying being angry, anyone being angry with the Lord would have to have the priest offer sacrifice for the son. But knowing that we are no longer under the law, but under grace, Jesus said in Luke 12th chapter, 48th verse, but he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of scribes shall be eaten with few scribes. For whosoever so much is given, much shall be required, and to whom much they have committed, much more will be asked for more.
Okay, and what's your question?
And my question is being ignorant of Jesus' law and commandments, that does that exclude you from the punishment or the consequences?
Okay, in other words, can you be forgiven for that? Is that what you're asking?
I'm understanding that there is forgiveness of sin, but in this word he said that they are worthy of scribes and shall be beaten with few.
Okay. All right. Well, we will address that and look at the Bible for the answer. We sure do appreciate your question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to direct your attention to John chapter 12
in terms of someone
being ignorant if they're ignorant of the word, will they be held accountable or will they still be judged for that? Well, we see Jesus spoke on that with John chapter 12 verse 48 that says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken in the last day will judge." So Jesus says here that the words I have spoken is what we will be judged on. So as far as that, we have to follow with what Christ says. So ignorance will not be an excuse for judgment day. We will be judged by the words that Christ has spoken of. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Believe we have Ann, another live caller. Ann's question is on marriage. Is that correct?
Ann, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes. I am married, and my husband and I are both saved, and this is our second marriage. This is his second marriage. This is my second marriage. What does the word say about that? Because I've heard different speakings on that from different pastors, and I just want to know, what does the word say about that?
In Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 3, Jesus himself was asked about marriage, and he answers this way. The question that was formed to him in verse 3, the Pharisees came to him, testing him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." So we do not have the right to break up what God has put together there, verse 6. Well, then they said to him, "Well, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away?" And he said, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so." All right, so there he answers it a second time. Now, verse 9, Jesus says, "And I say unto you, whosoever divorces his wife," I'm going to jump and leave a clause out, and I'm going to come back to it, so please give me that opportunity. So he says in verse 9, and I'm going to leave that one clause out and come back to it. "I say unto you, whosoever divorces his wife," skipping, "and marries another, commits adultery. Whosoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery." Now, the clause that I left out was, "except for sexual immorality." So that is fornication or any kind of sexual practice outside of a rightly married husband and wife. That was the only cause or the exception to this rule. Well, the disciples understood this to the point to where they said, Well, if such is the case with a man and his wife, it's better not to marry. And Jesus said to them, all cannot accept this thing, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able, let him accept it. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. So there's what God says. And so now it is up to you and me and every one of us that just read or heard God's word to work out the details as they fit into our lives. Does that help?
Thank you very much. That helps a lot. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. Chuck?
We have a text question by the caller. Last three digits is 784. And their question says, building on the question earlier about accepting Christ at an early age, can a Christian fall from grace? Well, we want to look at Galatians 5 and verse 4, which gives you a direct answer to that question. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, it says, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. So, yes, we can fall from grace. There is no such thing as the teaching, once saved, always saved. Being saved is a situation where it's a continual process where after we have obeyed the gospel, we obey the gospel to become saved, submitting to the watery grave of baptism and dying with Christ in the watery grave of baptism. That's how we become saved, which we get that from the 1 Peter 3:20 tells us that baptism now saves us. But after that, I have to continue living in the correct way and continue obeying God's word and living by that word and applying it to my life. So once you get saved, you have to stay saved. So we will, that's the answer to your question. Yes, we can fall from grace. We can backslide. And we must continue in following the word. And we will, hopefully that was a helpful answer to your question. We're going to be taking our last break. We do have some questions kind of on the backlog, but we will be running through them as soon as we get back from this last break. But you still have time to go ahead and get your question in. If we don't get to it, we will start the program with the next week. But we will give due diligence and give our best to give the answers to your questions that are on your heart. So even while we're at break, go ahead and call in your questions. The last segment. Last call for your questions, 308-9564, 308-9564. We are back live. Once again, this is our last segment. We want you to go ahead and call in your questions or send them in through text. We will be trying to get through the questions that we have on tap here, but we want to encourage you to call 308-9564. Go ahead and get your question in before the end of the program, just about 7 or 8 minutes left, I believe. So call in your question, 308-9564, or you can text it in to 725-9283,
725-9283. Have a text question for the last four digits are 5555. The question is, what is the fivefold ministry? Five and five, okay. What is the fivefold ministry of, and should all churches operate, patient, in such, or practice such? Does the word say for us to? Well, first of all, the Bible says nothing about a fivefold ministry. That phrase is not in the Bible. However, people have taken some of the writings in Ephesians chapter 4 and applied that or labeled that as a fivefold ministry. But everything that God tells us to do, the word ministry means service. And so everything God asks us to do is in service to Him. It doesn't mention there, turn the other cheek. It doesn't mention go the extra mile. It doesn't say love your enemies. There's many other things that the Lord has told us to do that we should be doing. And so it is not fivefold, but it is manyfold that the Lord has told us to do in service to Him. As far as if you want to say that that's the operation of the church, it doesn't mention the parameters that the leaders, those that oversee the church, should operate in. You have to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 for that, or Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 for that, where it says the overseers are to be responsible, overseer, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. There's not supposed to be any organization bigger than the church. There are qualities that must be met. That's in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. And so we can't just boil down what God expects us to do from one passage. And so hopefully that's helpful to you. No, it's not that easy. We have to study to show ourselves approved to God. Thank you for your question, and hopefully that has been helpful to you. Be sure you get your get the correspondence course if you've never studied through that, because that will be very informative to you. Obviously, you are a student, and you will gain much from that. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, we have Dorothy calling in this question. Dorothy's question is, what is more than a conqueror? And the section of scripture she gets that from is Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Well, here we have the Holy Spirit using Paul to put this example, this military type example, to these Christians who were here at the church in Rome, talking about being more than conquerors. Being there at the church in Rome, they would have knowledge of military power and military victories. And when you took over a land, you conquered it. Conquering is just utter destroying this what you're taking over. It's just taking over and just utterly destroying it. And Paul uses this term because if you go back up in the context of the chapter to verse 31, it talks about what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he continues on and goes down and says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, nakedness, sword? So he gives all these things and lists all these things that it gives them and poses the question, should these things separate us from the love of Christ? And well, the resounding answer that he's trying to get them to understand is no, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ unless if we are trying to walk in that light and be accepting to him and obedient to him. But in terms of what is more than a conqueror, well, that's just showing the power that Jesus and his love has over all of these things, all of these problems in our lives. Jesus has the power to overcome those things. So it says in verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's not us who has the power. It's Christ who has the power to overcome those problems in our lives. Hopefully that was helpful to you. Once again, that was Romans chapter 8. And read that context, verses 31 through 39. Ricky?
We have a text question, the last digit 6046. Their question is there anything in the Bible that discusses sexual immorality for married individuals besides adultery? Well, let me first of all define the terms. The word fornication is any wrong sexual activity. From homosexual to bestiality, it covers every part of it. Well, now let's find out, where is sexual activity right? It is only right when it is between a rightly married, in God's eyes, husband and wife. That is the only place sexual activity is right. It is righteous. So, what is adultery? Adultery means that you have broken a covenant that you have made with an individual. And so that is why when a married person commits fornication, which would be including adultery, therefore it is called adultery, because when we get married, that means we are committing ourselves to that mate for life. No one else is to be the recipient or the participant of any kind of marriage, any kind of sexual activity other than our rightly married to mate. Hopefully that has been helpful to you. So in other words, yes, it would be adultery because you're married, and that's what would make that wrong. And so fornication is very broad and many facets of it. Adultery means there's someone that is married in the mix. We sure do appreciate your question very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. You better hurry if you want your question today. We've got 2 minutes left.
We have a text in question. The last three digits are 624. And this question says, does a person have to receive the Holy Ghost to be saved? Well, I'm going to answer this question in multiple ways. The first short answer is Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38 says, then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, they were commanded to be, they were commanded to repent and be baptized. That's the two things they were commanded to. They weren't commanded to receive the Holy Spirit. We do not have power to receive the Holy Spirit. We can't tell the Holy Spirit to come upon us. It says here in Acts 2 verse 38 that the Holy Spirit is a gift, and that it comes upon us when we obey the gospel, or after we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. That's how we receive the Holy Spirit. That's what it says here in Acts 2 verse 38. We were not able, hopefully that was helpful to you. We were not able to get to any more questions. We did have two text questions.
No, that was it.
Okay, we did. We got to all the questions. We want to thank you for taking this time out this afternoon to take in God's word. And we just want to let you know, if you desire the true happiness and joy that is only contained in the word of God, it will only be found through God's word, not seeking after man's doctrine. My friends, we must let.